Now, oftentimes we talk about being restored, it has something to do with us falling away, maybe not being as close to God as we should have, or have stepped outside of the will of God, and God is bringing us back. And there's merit to that, but that's not what I want to talk about today. I think there are times in all of our lives where we hurt, and we maybe cry, because life can be really, really difficult. And if you've gone through your life without experiencing what I've just said, you're one of the lucky few. In this world, we will have trouble, Jesus said. But sometimes things have happened in life that seem pretty overwhelming, and we have to hang on to God. If we could just remember that God is always hanging on to us, there are times when we just have to hang on. I'm sorry that our teens are away today. I want to show one more video. I'm not going to do this every week. I want to show one more video today with a song. And it's somewhat of a haunting song. If you're ever stuck in traffic, which happens a lot around here, and you're wondering what people are thinking, just keep this in mind. Everybody hurts. Let's just watch the video. Well, that was somewhat of a haunting video, but I think there are times when we've all felt that on occasion. I thought there was power in that video. I've watched it several times, and every time I see it, there's something that's just a bit different. The symbolism is quite profound. But what drew me to that video as we talk about rebuilding our lives, and you recall we started this series talking about J.K. Rowling, who was the author of the very famous Harry Potter series, how her life was really, for a time, very destitute. After her mother died, she was estranged from her father. She married at a very young age, had a child. The marriage ended very, very badly. She was on her own, except for British welfare system. She said, we would have been living on the streets. I had nothing left. I felt all along. And she said, I was just hanging on. I had lost it all. I came crumbling down to the bottom. And she said, at the bottom, that became a solid foundation on which to rebuild my life. Now, not all of us have that same story as J.K. Rowling, but we all have a story that on occasion we feel alone. And even though we have faith, and even though we have family, and even though we have friends, and even though we have the scripture, and even though we have prayer, there are times when we're just holding on to God. And that's a good thing to do. Because restoration really isn't us returning to God. It's God pouring himself out into us. He's the one restoring us. So for just a very brief few minutes this morning, I want to talk about this from Scripture. I just want to use a couple of passages of Scripture, some of them familiar and some not, always with the theme of holding on. It's interesting, when the Bible was written in the New Testament, the book of Matthew, even though it's the first book in the New Testament, was certainly not the first book written. In fact, Matthew's gospel was written some 30 to 40 years after the church had been established. And there were a lot of difficult things that happened in that 40-year period. There was a lot of persecution that took place happening to Christians even at the time that Matthew was writing this. Some 30 to 40 years after the church started, many of those people who were first Christians had long died and gone to heaven. And life was very difficult, and they didn't have all the scriptures that we have today. And Matthew, I believe, out of the four gospels writing, is the only one that reminds us of this. When he writes for a specific purpose, and he's saying to a group of Christians these words, hold on, hold on. Matthew chapter 11, 28 with 30. Have you ever read this scripture based on what we've just talked about? Here's Jesus saying these words. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. take my yoke, which is teaching, take my teaching upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my teaching, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And what Jesus is offering us here in this passage is, hold on, I know how you are feeling. Come to me. Allow me to restore you. I will give you rest. I will restore you. Well, there are various other books in the Bible that deal with this same aspect of restoration. The second thing I'd like to talk about in regard to that is found in the book of Hebrews, which is a monumental scripture. We really don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but we know the intent. Howard Long talks about this group of people. As the Hebrew writer writes to them, these were people who were just holding on. When you read the book of Hebrews, you can feel it. Maybe as you felt in that video, you could feel people who were haunted. They started with such great purpose and they were doing well, but things were happening to them and they were feeling exhausted, worn out, tired, burdened. They were hanging on for so long, they just didn't know whether they could continue to hang on. And so the writer of Hebrews wrote this monumental document saying, hold on, I know that you're holding on, but Christ can and will restore you. And remember your forefathers. For so many of them who held on, and some of them who were persecuted and died because of their faith. And the Hebrew writer reminds us of all of that. In fact, in chapter 11, sometimes called the all-star chapter of faith, the great faith chapter, just lists all of these people who suffered great persecution, and yet, with God's strength, they continued to hold on. Saying all of that, I want to just notice Hebrews chapter 12, the first three verses. Based on everybody holding on, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, people who hung on in the middle of persecution, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Meaning, no longer holding on and just walking away. No, hold on, he says. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And then the third scripture I'd like to use, take some imagination. And even though we read the Bible and read the scriptures, I think God is asking us to use our imagination in going there with some of these things that are written. Sometimes you read some of these great adventures in the Bible and you want to picture yourself there, whether it be Jonah in the whale's belly. That's something that maybe we don't want to picture. But as a kid, when you hear that story, you just can't help but say, you got to be kidding. You want to put yourself in these stories. And one of the great things about children is I wish we could read the Bible like we did when we were kids. Put ourselves in the scripture, reading them, trying to grab hold of it. And sometimes there aren't specific stories where we could picture, but we get something overall. And that is found specifically in the book of Revelation, where John, now as an old man, is imprisoned. He had the entire island as a prisoner on this Isle of Patmos. All the other apostles are dead. Many of the disciples are gone. And as an old man, probably in his 80s, as he writes this, he remembers the excitement of what it was to follow Jesus Christ. and to give himself to Christ. And he remembers the great adventures. And now as an old man, he looks back and he also remembers the day that Jesus said that he was going to die and be buried and come back to life. And he couldn't believe it, but he witnessed it all. He witnessed the crucifixion. He witnessed the death of Christ. He witnessed the resurrection and saw him again. And then the exciting times of the church beginning. He was there with Peter and the other group and all these people being baptized and the church growing, 2,000, 5,000, 10,000. It just kept exploding. And then as the years went on, even though it was with great purpose and great vigor, all of a sudden, great persecution came from outside of the church and inside the church. Some of the teachings were getting way off base, and people were walking away. And there were some Christians who were just hanging on by a thread. And when you read 1 John and 2 John and 3 John, you can see John encouraging people, hang on. And then you get into this revelation and he's caught up in this beautiful vision of what's happening in the symbolicness of it all. And yet he says, hang on, it's worth hanging on. And at the end of the book in chapter 22, verses 8 and 9, he has this happen to him. I, John, am the one who heard and saw all these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But the angel said to me, John, don't do that. I am only a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and with all who keep the words of this scroll. Worship God. Be restored to God, because God is always restoring us and bringing us back to him. And so maybe John looks back and remembers the words of Jesus. Yeah, it's worth holding on, because as Jesus said in Matthew 19, the renewal of all things will one day take place. And maybe he remembers reading the book of Acts that was written by Luke and Peter speaking these words of that one day the restoration of all things, including us, will happen. Or remember, maybe he remembers Paul saying that one day the redemption and the reconciliation and the liberation of all things will take place. And John, now on Isle of Patmos, sees it, that all things new will take place. And so it's worth, on occasion, just holding on. And then the last scripture I'd like us to share is talked about, first of all, by Peter. Peter, who was finding himself, on occasion, just hanging on by a thread, remembers what Jesus said to him. And this is not a very familiar passage of scripture, but it's a beautiful passage of scripture. This is just before Jesus is betrayed, just before he's about to be crucified. And here's how Luke records this in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. Jesus saying to Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you all as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and that when you have turned back, or maybe we can read it this way, and when you have been restored, that you will strengthen the brothers. Meaning, Jesus is telling Peter, this is what you're going to do. And Peter is saying, no way. But how many times in our life have we promised great faith? Only based on situations and circumstances, sometimes not even out of control, we don't have that faith that we'd like. But God promises, I'm going to restore you. When you've returned, strengthen, be the encouragement. And Peter found that was true. And my last words today is, I'd like us to look at this last scripture based on Peter, who may have been in his 20s when Jesus said this to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith won't fail. And then his faith failed. But he returned. And now as an old man, he looks back on his own life and other people's lives, times of people just holding on. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, he writes to this church. And here's what he says. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a while, just hanging on, will himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you to the Hebrew writer. Thank you, John. And thank you, Peter. All reminding us that everybody hurts and everyone cries, but to hold on. Because God not only restores us, but as you demonstrated so often in our lives, God, you continually restore us so that we might help others in their own restoration. Thank you for continually building our lives. Amen.